my. If we thought it was busy before, get ready for this weekend. And I don't know, but it may be the whole month's going to be that way. I have a suspicion that that's true. But I'm going to give you a quick little start of music just to let you know one thing that's happening. And that's our friends, the Horsenecks. That's the Horsenecks, and that is King Henry King's Reel. Of course, I turned it into King Henry's Reel, and I wanted to play that for a particular reason, but first let me just let you know that they are playing at the Sou'Wester in Seaside tomorrow evening. That's December 1st, one of the many fabulous things happening in our town. Okay, so with a little twist of the name, King Henry's Reel, I decided that would be a good segue to my first guests. Actually, it has nothing to do with them, but there are beings in this show that kind of look like majesties, and I've got a few of them here in the room with me. I'm talking about the Nutcracker. It is happening tomorrow at 2 and again at 7:30 and then on Sunday at 2, all at the Astoria High School Auditorium, which I believe is the largest space that we have in Astoria. Isn't that right? I've got Jean Peterson here. She's nodding her head.
That is correct.
And she knows more than anyone about this this kind of thing.
No, I have a lot of help.
A lot of help. You've also been here a long time.
A few years.
Mm-hmm. And done dance with the Maddox Dance Studio, created it a few years ago. Yeah, I remember when I found out how long ago it was. I was a bit surprised because Jeannie doesn't age. However, the production does. How many years has the Nutcracker been done here?
We are celebrating our 44th year producing the Nutcracker here.
That is amazing. And that's a good segue because I would bet that that is more years than each of our principal dancers sitting here. I'm right, aren't I?
Yes.
By a long shot. I have here Elizabeth Barreto. And but you can't nod. You have to speak because it's radio.
Yes,
you
know, of course.
And Andrew Taft.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. And they are our guest dancers from Ballet Idaho. They're the principal dancers. And I'm going to be letting them and Jean Peterson tell you more about them. But it's not their first time here. Is it your first time on this radio station, though?
Yes.
As far as I know.
Okay, we have 2 out of 3 radio virgins. There we go. Jean Peterson is far from it. But I'm a virgin in this little setting of 4 for the Nutcracker. So point scored there, the turn of the screw. This production has something that's extremely unusual, as far as I know, in a town this small, and that is, in addition to almost 100 dancers, there's a 55-piece orchestra?
That is true.
That's pretty unusual.
It's just an honor to have that.
Yeah. And Corey Peterson is the director and conductor, and some of those folks have come from far away.
Yes, about 20 of the 55 do not live here in this area. They come from other symphony orchestras around the Washington and Oregon. And they love to come because we offer them the chance to play the entire score. Lots of times the other orchestras will play excerpts for their concerts, but this way they get to see every note.
Right. And how exciting is that for the audience, for the dancers, and hopefully for our principal dancers? So do you folks dance this Nutcracker elsewhere? Have you done that? I know you've done it here in Astoria.
Yes, yeah. I mean, we perform it in Boise with Ballet Idaho every year. We do a run of shows. And then a lot of us, Andrew and I, will go and guest at other companies and schools throughout the season to perform it. But there's something magical about the live orchestra, especially here. It adds so much to just the show as a whole.
It's everything.
Yeah. It's interesting because some people, believe it or not, prefer recorded music because it's always exactly the same.
Oh, no.
What's the fun in that?
No, that's not.
Oh, yeah. Your response was perfect, Andrew.
No, the best part is never knowing exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you can usually see the conductor from the stage, and there's always a relationship, whether it's for a split second or for the entire dance. You lock eyes, and he or she knows if you're about to move or you're going to slow down or speed up. It's a great, great bit of fun.
Nice, nice. That's good for folks to learn on the outside, because when you're sitting in the audience and watching, it's pure magic, and we can't figure out how are they syncing it so perfectly. So,
and how do they remember all those steps?
Well, that's always a mystery.
Yes.
To everybody. And that goes for the children as well. I've been honored to be with these, some of them tiny little children, and some of them not so tiny but still quite young, and they are amazing. They are amazing. So thank you, Jeannie, for bringing up this and continuing to bring up this.
Well, we continue it because we feel the love of the people. When we finish a run of it, then we run to people at the grocery store or on the corner, and they'll say, "You just made my holiday season," and it just makes you feel so good. You think, this is why we're doing it, because mm-hmm. it's giving them a tradition to look forward to.
Yeah, and again, I don't know. Now, Elizabeth, you said you grew up in La Grande,
yes.
Oregon. We have native Oregonians, two of them in the room, and two East Coasters and two West Coasters. Did your community have performances of the Nutcracker when you were growing up?
Yes. We never did a full Nutcracker. I actually trained at my mother's studio there. We would do excerpts. The first one that I did that was full length was with the Eugene Ballet. They were touring through, and they were at this small little opera house, I think in Elgin, Oregon.
Oh, my. Yep.
But they auditioned the children a month in advance, and they came into town, and we got to do the show with them and be in the party scene and whatnot. So that was my first experience, and I was hooked after that.
So let's go back. First, let me just ask you, Andrew, what about you? You come from Miami. I'm sure they did the Nutcracker there.
They did and do. That was my first experience on stage, and it's a lot of young dancers' first experience on stage. Mm-hmm. And again, we had a live orchestra. It was with the Miami City Ballet, and it's when Edward Villella was running the Miami City Ballet.
Wow.
I knew somewhat what I was getting into. I just knew that I loved the stage right after doing that Nutcracker. And we had a run of, I think, 40 performances.
Wow.
That year. And that's a lot for a 9-year-old.
That's a lot for anybody.
Right, right.
Wow.
But you really find out if you like it or not by the end of that.
Well, that leads into my next question. So let me just start with you. When did you decide that dance/theater was for you, and how?
After I watched my first class, the teacher said, first of all, you can't just sit there and watch. You're a little boy. You come in here. You've got to get up and imitate what the girls are doing. We don't care. Just take your shoes off. Wear your socks. And I stood there, and I was doing whatever I could do. And I went downstairs, and my mom said, oh, my gosh, he's going to kill me because I sent him to this class. And I said, Mom, this is it. I love it.
God.
Set. Oh, wonderful.
Set. Yeah. So yeah. I guess it took an hour or so for me to know.
Thank you, Andrew's mom.
Right. That's terrific. Yeah.
It's usually the moms.
How old were you?
Nine.
Nine.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Wow. That's wonderful. Yeah. That was an easy sell for you.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, do you have many boys that...
It varies from time to time. Now, this year we're down a little bit. We did have 7 boys last year. But now we're down to four or five now this year. So, but they're all working hard, and they all want to be the prince.
Hmm. Yes.
That's their goal.
Of course.
One of them told me he'd like to be Dr. Drosselmeyer.
Oh, well, we'll have to talk to Dan Sutherland about that. Yes. See if he's ready to retire.
Oh, he better not be.
That's great. How about you, Elizabeth? When and how? Well, you said your mother had a studio.
Yes.
So were you dancing in utero? In your mother's
studio? Actually, yes. My mother was taking my sisters to a summer ballet program when she was pregnant with me, and mm-hmm. she took class every day until the day before I was born.
Wow.
And so being in the dance studio was pretty much my whole childhood and mm-hmm. kindergarten, pretty much. And I don't think I decided I wanted to pursue it as a career until I was 14, which is kind of late to make a choice like that. But
was your mother's one of many studios in La Grande?
Yes, there were actually, I think, 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
How big is La Grande?
12,000.
Well, oh, it is bigger than
Square
Astoria.
cute.
So did you eventually leave your mother's studio and go to someone else's?
I did, yes. I left and went to train with the Anaheim Ballet in Southern California. They have the teachers, Lawrence and Sarma Rosenberger, incredible at producing turners and jumpers and great dancers.
How old were you at that time?
I was 16.
Okay. So you actually left and went there
mm-hmm.
and still took normal classes?
Yeah, I was homeschooled throughout then, so I just did online classes and finished it out that way.
Great. And how did it come together in Idaho? What's the path?
Very different.
Very different. I got a phone call. So I was living in New York at the time, and a friend of mine was friends with the then director, Peter Anastas, in 2008. And she said, would you ever consider moving? And in 2008, the jobs were a little
bit not.
Right. So I took it on a flyer and ended up there. And I've been there for a long time now.
And how was it moving from New York to Idaho?
Oh, it's the same. It's no different.
I can hear the phones ringing.
Right. My Metro card works there the same way.
Goodness.
That was a shocker.
Yeah.
But I'm glad. Every time I leave a place like Boise, Idaho, I miss the trees and the smells
and the
fresh air.
That's how mm-hmm. we feel about the Pacific
That's
Northwest,
right. mm-hmm.
basically. It's like that. So let me give you a few of the details, folks. Am I right, Jeannie, at this point? People get their tickets at the door only?
Yes. The box office will open 1 hour before each performance.
Okay. And we don't give prices, but it's... there are reserved seats, there are special tickets for senior citizens and children and adults, and there is a show at 2 o'clock on
Saturday.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing something about active military. Is
yes, we do
happen?
Have a discount for the active military on the Saturday afternoon performance only.
Okay.
The Saturday 2 p.m. only
is
the active military discount with ID.
Right. And then, and if you don't know where this is, it's Astoria High School. I don't know. Is there a website that's best to check?
No, I think now we're really, all the information is pertaining just on the phones if you call us or stop in at the high school box office an hour before performance.
Okay, so Saturday, 2 o'clock and 7:30, and then Sunday at 2 p.m.
Yes.
And I have definitely been swayed. I've seen the, actually, you know what's funny? When you talked about the Nutcracker being what you break in, I somehow or other, was anyone in your family from New York?
My mother.
Thank you. I can hear it in your voice. That's why I'm asking.
I'm trying to get rid of that.
Excuse me. I beg your pardon.
Sorry. Sorry,
I like
Mom.
The sound. Don't change it.
Well, the thing is, I grew up in New York and took ballet from 5 to 12. I never heard of the Nutcracker. Yeah. It was a different culture, I think. And so I have seen the Nutcracker a number of times out here. But as I say, this year is very special because seeing it from behind the scenes is a whole nother ballgame. And seeing how beautifully the children work together and play together, how much fun they have, and yet how disciplined they are. Mm-hmm. And that comes from my guest, I can assure you, folks. Jean Peterson. Jean Maddox Peterson.
Thank
I
you.
Should make sure to mention the originator of the studio. And Elizabeth Barreto and Andrew Taft are our guests. And I'm sure right now they look like very attractive young people. But on stage, they will look magical.
Exactly.
Absolutely magical.
Good description.
And I can't wait to see the transformation, even though actually I kind of like you like this too. So that's good.
We're comfortable.
Yes. Good, good. Thank you for coming and for being here. And Jeannie, thank you.
Thank you so much
doing
for this opportunity.
This year after year.
Well, we and thank all of our help.
And there's, in addition to Corey Peterson leading the 55-piece orchestra, there's also a voice choir?
Yes, there's a choir, and there's a section, a vocal section in the Snowflakes scene. And so that is directed by Amanda McClure, who is a music teacher at Warrenton High School.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't recognize the name. Excellent. Little Ballet Theater's The Nutcracker, the 44th year. Don't miss it. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you
very, very much.
And I've got some music coming up for you. Tomorrow is actually December 1st, as I'm sure you know. And that would be World AIDS Day. And you can check that out. Sadly, we don't hear much about HIV and AIDS anymore. A lot of people think, well, that's taken care of. Well, it isn't taken care of. So let's all just give a moment of thought. Here's Kathy Fink and Marcy Markser.
A patchwork of thousands of precious names. There must be someone that you know. Woven together in a quilted frame, names the loved ones won't let go. And I know that my name could be there, and I feel the pain and the fear. And as human love and passions do not make us all the same, we are counted not as numbers, but as names. We grieve for the lovers and the families, and I pray they'll meet again someday. But until that time, I will carry the flame. As the numbers grow, we'll not forget their names. And I know that my name could be there, and I feel the pain and the fear. And as human love and passions do not make us all the same, we are counted not as numbers but as names. A lover, a carpenter, a father, a friend, a sister, minister, a mom. Each quilted piece holds a memory. Each memory helps us to go on. And I know that my name could be there, and I feel the pain and the fear. And as human love and passions do not make us all the same, we are counted not as numbers but as names. And as human love and passions do not make us all the same, we are counted not as numbers but as names.
Thank you, Kathy Fink and Marcy Marxer. And, you know, we had that beautiful AIDS quilt here in Seaside, actually, at the Convention Center, I believe it was. It was incredible for several years, but haven't heard about that happening again. My next guest is no stranger to KMUN, not even close, because
not at all.
She's on the radio. How often are you on the radio these days, Kim?
First Friday of every month.
First Friday of every month. That's the voice of Kim Angelis, our world-class violinist and beautiful person, and we are so happy to have her in our community. How long has that been?
Over 15 years.
Wow. Isn't that fabulous?
Yep. Yes, it is.
It certainly is. And this weekend, on Sunday, Kim is going to be performing at the Pioneer Presbyterian Church, which is, the address is 33324 Patriot Way, Warrenton. That's the legal address. Now, I think many of you, even if you didn't know it was called that, will be familiar with this beautiful old church that is now led by Dwight Caswell, another one of our local artists. And am I right that the church commissioned you to create a piece?
You're absolutely correct, and I'm so grateful and thankful because it got me going again on writing music. Oh. And this was Dwight's idea. Bless him.
Yes, yes. I'm sure he knew what he was doing too.
I'm sure he
did. Back into the music. So
yes.
It's going to be thrilling. The series that Kim is part of is called Music at Pioneer, and it's a wonderful idea. And I know that the last one was very successful, and I'm sure this will be. It's this Sunday, 4 p.m. That's December 2nd. The concert also includes Jennifer Goodenberger.
Yes.
And she is going to be on piano.
Yes.
So what are people going to be hearing mostly? Is it your tunes, old, new?
Well, there'll be seven of my compositions and four of Jennifer's compositions.
Okay.
And I'll be playing on two of Jennifer's pieces.
Nice.
And that's, well, the compositions that Jennifer and I will be doing together are all more recent, nothing very old. Things like Astoria Gloria and, well, new things that would be unfamiliar to people. I will be playing part of a wild violin concerto, that I've written the piano parts for, and I haven't written the piano parts for the whole thing, which is why it will only be part of it. And in fact, the first part I'm just going to play by myself, give Jennifer a little break, because actually Jennifer's doing the lion's share of the work this concert.
Because she had to learn your tunes.
Right. Yeah. And she's actually playing on 10 of the 11 pieces.
Oh, wow.
Whereas I'm not.
Okay.
She's doing all the work.
That's great. Now, is she going to be playing on the new piece as well?
Yes, okay. She sure will be.
So she will be playing, and I understand Barinas Centeno Jones is also, or Jones Centeno. Why do I always mix up her name? But she's another KMUN fabulous programmer. She programs the opera show. And by the way, Jennifer Guttenberger used to be one of our programmers. See, this station is full of creative people.
Yes.
She was a classical music programmer. So Barinas is an opera soprano. What is she going to be doing in this concert?
She is going to be singing in the Magnificat that Dwight commissioned me to write. Uh-huh. And that is when Mary, in the Book of Luke, very beginning of the Book of Luke, praises God after she's visited by an angel and told that she will bear the coming Jesus. And so she sings this song, and I took the scripture, and that was the inspiration for the lyrics. And
so what did you have to do? Because I'm sure you... I'm not sure of anything. Is this a strict King James version of the scripture?
Actually, it's the New King James translation.
Okay, that helps.
I hope it does. And to make it fit musically, yeah. I repeated a lot of words. Like, my soul magnifies the Lord, my soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So I repeated the first little stanza and things like that. But it is basically the scripture that Barinas will be singing with her gorgeous voice.
I know. This is fabulous, really. It's going to be a gorgeous concert. Now, I have a question, because I know you have done music inspired by scripture before, but did you have anyone singing?
Never. Not ever. This is a first.
Okay, no pressure, Barinas. However, this is the first time Kim's work will have us. Wow.
Yes.
What made you decide to do that?
It was Dwight's request.
To have the...
He commissioned me to write a Magnificat, so I did.
What does the word Magnificat mean in terms of the music?
It's magnifying the Lord. It's showing the spotlight, shining the spotlight, putting all the attention on God because of the great things he has done.
Okay, so that could be done just with music, as you have done in the past.
Yes.
Did he also request that there be the scripture be vocalized?
Well, he specifically had Barinas in mind.
Okay, okay.
And I originally wrote the part way too high. So I had to rewrite it.
Okay. This is the kind of thing that, again, we just had the dancers from the Nutcracker. This behind-the-scenes stuff, now speaking to the composer and finding out how it works.
Well, I gave her the part that was too high, and Marina said, well, I can do it, but do you really want to shock the audience that badly?
No, I don't think so. Notice that Barinas is not here to defend herself, but I can believe it, that the communication skills of both of these women, all three of these women, the skills are quite wonderful. So working with another person, you've worked with other musicians before, but working with someone who is going to be singing to your work, how was that for you?
When she came and rehearsed it for the first time on Saturday, it was thrilling, absolutely thrilling. I was so amazed that she already knew the part.
She's
She'd
a professional.
Already worked on it.
Yep.
she had it down, and
yeah,
wow,
yeah, nice, nice,
really, really nice,
nice. So this is we're speaking with Kim Angeles, and we were talking about her brand new world premiere Magnificat, My Soul Glorifies the Lord, which will be played by Kim on violin, Jennifer Goodenberger on piano, and Barinas Jones Centeno on voice.
That's right.
Her soprano voice, which is absolutely gorgeous.
Yes,
now,
it
in
is.
Addition to that, we heard that they will be doing, what, 10 other pieces?
Yes.
Is that it? So I have right here, I have Astoria Gloria. Tell us about this piece.
Oh, this piece was inspired by being on the river walk with a dog of mine who is now crossed over, Holly the Concert Collie. Mm. We had gone for a walk and the storm clouds were just lifting and the sun just broke through a little bit, a shaft of water, bouncing on the water, turning into jewels, dancing there. A little bit of light that then was extinguished again by the clouds. So that's Astoria Gloria.
And you're listening to it right now. Let's hear a little more. I'm sure that you, the listeners, as I, would love to just listen to this piece all the way through. Well, you may hear it another time on Coast Community Radio, on one of the folk shows or classical shows. But best of all would be to join Kim and Kim Angeles, my guest, and Jennifer Goodenberger, at the Pioneer Presbyterian Church, 33324 Patriot Way, Warrenton. Make sure it's easy to find. Just check it out. And this is 4 p.m. this Sunday. Come a little early, of course. And in addition to 7 of Kim's original pieces, you'll hear 4 of Jennifer Goodenberger's original pieces, and then you will hear Barinas Jones Centeno singing to the world premiere performance of Kim's work. Kim, anything else we need to know?
Well, Dwight did want me to mention that the church is accessed by the exit to Camp Rylea, and it's the place where all the daffodils are every Easter, out in a big cross. And to, if you need more information, to visit the website at pioneerchurchpcusa.org. I think Dwight works on that website a lot, so he wanted me to specifically
now that's
mention
good.
It.
So is the whole website just pcusa.org? Or it's Pioneer Church, PCUSA.
It's pioneerchurchpcusa.org.
Okay. Pioneer Church. I'm writing it down. I hope you are too, folks. Thanks, Dwight, for giving us the Camp Rylea tip.
That's how you can find it. Yes. And it's a sweet, sweet little church.
So. Yes, it is.
Thank you so much, and congratulations, Mazel Tov, to you, Kim Angelis, for this brand new piece of yours.
Well, thank you so
what
much.
What a blessing. And thanks to Jennifer and Berenice and to Dwight for helping this materialize this Sunday.
Yes. Thanks. Thank you.
Stay tuned, folks. My next guest will be coming in very shortly. My next guest is in the studio, and that's Larkin Stents, and I have some of his music here as well, but perhaps we'll just bring him right on and play the music a little bit later, because he's carrying with him.
Uh-oh.
What are you carrying with you, Larkin?
It's a big penny whistle.
That's not a penny. Yes, that's at least a nickel.
Yes, at least a nickel whistle.
Is that really called a penny whistle when
it's
that big?
Yeah, it's made out of brass. It's a low D.
I didn't realize they could be that big.
Yeah, the reason I got it was because of the low end.
Huh.
I was enamored by the soloist in Riverdance, who plays some beautiful solo flute pieces. And I said, I need that. I want that flute. And this is the closest I could come that I could afford.
A minor detail there. Well, Larkin is here. As you know, this is an event-driven show here at Arts Live and Local on KMUN and KTCB and Coast Community Radio. And by the way, thanks to all of you who supported this radio station on Tuesday, on Giving Tuesday. Much appreciated. And keep on calling in or checking out the website, coastradio.org. Larkin has a concert tonight, this very night, 7:30 p.m. at Kala, which is 1017 Marine Drive. And I'm never sure what Larkin's going to pull out, because he comes equipped with some kind of flute, in this case a penny whistle. What is that, about 18 inches? Well, how long is that? Yeah, it's about 16, 18 inches. Yeah. And then he also plays the hammer dulcimer, and I'm not sure
silver
what your...
Silver flute, bansuri, which is a flute from India.
Mm-hmm. And the shakuhachi.
No, I'm not playing
not
that.
Not tonight. No. Okay, but you have in the past. And also, are you doing some spoken word tonight?
Yes,
well?
I will be
how
doing...
Is that?
It's poetry. Mm-hmm. That I've written, some of which I also do a soliloquy about the earth. What if the earth were but a few feet in diameter and floating above a field somewhere?
Oh, I like this.
Yeah.
I like
and,
that.
So the second half of the evening is going to be a lot of the Earth Symphony that I've done, which is on the album Earthlight. So I've pre-recorded all of the background symphonic material that I can play on top of. So that'll be... the second half of the concert.
Okay, and the first half?
First half is going to be the soliloquy, as I said, solo bamboo flute, solo silver flute, hammer dulcimer pieces.
And this is all original music?
Oh, yeah.
I'm presuming, because that's what I know you for.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things that you did was play in the Astoria Column.
Yay.
That was extraordinary. A lot of people go in there and kind of call up to each other or call down to each other. But I didn't No, I don't know anyone else who's actually played a whole concert.
It's never been done before. I didn't do a whole concert, but I did record a whole album there one night.
That's a whole concert.
Right.
Filled an album, so. And it was just glorious. And
oh, thank
usually
you.
Usually when you play. Do you have something you want to play for us live?
Well, given that I'm live and we're live,
and
I'll
you have
do
this
a little improvisation.
16-inch, 18-inch penny whistle, sure. Lovely, lovely.
Thank you.
You said improvise.
It comes from my heart. It's like I try to tune into what I'm feeling, and I go from there.
I'm just wondering, when you put something down on an album, and then you play mm-hmm. otherwise, do you find yourself sort of staying in a groove?
I have grooves,
yeah.
Yes. Over the
okay.
years now with 13 albums, I find that I've...
Oh, my goodness, I didn't realize.
Yeah,
okay.
I have some motifs, you might say, some lyrical phrases
mm-hmm,
that I
mm-hmm.
tend to go back to and back to.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny being here on this show. My recording engineer's up from San Francisco. We've been recording all week a new album. And it's going to be called Sanctuary.
Mm.
And he brought with him a recording of a radio interview I did on KPFA with Michael Toms and New Dimensions Radio in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
To listen to that was humbling. But also it was interesting to see that I'm still the same person.
Mm-hmm. When did you come here?
Oh, gosh, over 20 years ago, 2000. Gosh,
mm-hmm.
we are, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 1989,
mm-hmm.
1990.
That's almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
30.
Quite always. Yeah.
Time flies,
I've had
doesn't
three
it?
Lifetimes in
yeah.
that time. Yeah.
Well, I know, because I just finished reading your book, Will I Melt Into My Breath, which was quite a beautiful tribute.
Thank you.
To Michelle.
Yeah.
And that was in 97, I think, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But, yeah, I noticed that. I didn't realize. So the album Ocean, apostrophe.
It's called Ocean.
Ocean was 1979?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I
think it was like 19... That was when I produced my first album. It was 1979, Essence of a Candle.
Okay.
Ocean didn't come out until the early 80s, 81
okay.
or 82.
That's still, it's a few years.
Yeah.
Larkin has many lives, as he just alluded to, in addition to the music and the writing and the poetry. He also is the proprietor.
Steward.
Steward, I like that word, yes, of Green Angel Gardens on the Long Beach Peninsula. You can sometimes drive by and see a stand out there with...
We've got the stand closed down right now for the first time in 11 years.
Oh, you mean you don't usually close in the winter?
No,
okay.
I tried to keep it open, but it's like I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
So it'll be reopened in the spring.
Okay. And then you might see coming along with a loaf of bread, too. So there are lots of different life parts. But the important one right now is to tune in this very evening, tonight, at Kala, 1017 Marine Drive, a lovely venue, the home of Hipfish. And the concert's listed for 7:30, and you can get your tickets at the door.
Exactly.
And I'm sure you'll hear Larkin's love of the earth, the planet, and peace.
Yes.
Thank you, Larkin.
Thank you, Carol, for all you do.
Thank you. I'm going to put some of your music on from in the background.
Yeah, this is from Inside the Astoria Column.
Yeah, my favorite. I'm sure you all recognize the voice, and I'm going to let my guest, Andrew Tonry, tell us why we're listening to Aretha. And if anyone ever asks you, what is this KMUN station, you just tell them it is the heart of eclecticism. I'm not sure that's a real word, but you can try it out. And Andrew.
Yes, Carol. Hi. Thanks for having
me. Thanks for coming in.
It is my pleasure.
Why are we listening? First of all, Andrew is here from the Tolovana Arts Colony. He is the program director. Is that still your title?
Correct.
Okay. And he has been definitely making the programs happen since he came, which is, what, it's only a couple of years.
Not 3 years.
3 years. Again, time flies. So why are we hearing Aretha?
We're hearing Aretha because tomorrow afternoon we're putting on a matinee performance. It's something we're calling the Soul Experience. That is going to be hosted by Lanisha Williams. She's the founder of the Love Coalition. She has done many social and cultural related activism in the North Coast. And she's going to be performing songs from Aretha, as well as other luminaries of soul like Miriam Anderson and Mahalia Jackson.
Oh, wow.
And she's going to perform the songs, but she's also going to give them a little context. And, you know, I guess I should back up a second. The reason we're doing this is part of a two-part series a cultural exchange series. We got a grant from the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition.
Oh, see good. How I, yep,
one,
you
two,
got
three,
it.
Boom.
Quadruple four. Yep.
And you may have noticed that in the times we're living in that things are getting a little divided. People are kind of being suspicious or fearful of other people, and we want to share perspectives in hopes of bringing us all together.
Nice.
So the first program is the Soul Experience, which is tomorrow, Saturday, December 1st. That's at Tolovana Hall down in the south end of Cannon Beach at 2 p.m. And I know you don't talk about prices, but can I say that it's free? Can we do that?
No, but you just did, so that's fine.
Okay.
Okay, folks. Well, open to the public. Okay. All age, of course.
I want to read something, I think, a little bit on Aretha from our former President Barack Obama. It turns out he's a better music journalist than just about anyone in the business. So, Obama wrote, quote, "Nobody embodies more fully the connection between the African-American spiritual, the blues, R&B, rock and roll. The way that hardship and sorrow are transformed into something full of beauty, vitality, and hope." I mean, he's good, right? I mean, let's listen to this. And he says, Aretha helped define the American experience. In her voice, we could feel our history, all of it in every shade, our power and our pain, our darkness and our light, our quest for redemption and our hard-won respect.
Beautiful.
And that's what we're talking about with the Soul Experience tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Afternoon.
Now, how are you spelling soul? Of course, S-O-U-L.
Yeah.
Of course.
I wasn't sure if that was the...
No, it's a real question, though, because there's also the solitary way that people have been feeling recently because of the alienation that's been going on. But this is definitely a soulful, and Lanisha is full of soul, musically as well as food. That's
You know, just like Aretha, Lanisha learned to sing in church.
Mm-hmm. So. There you go. Okay. And what else is coming
up? Well, I should mention, before I talk about the second part of our cultural exchange series, tomorrow afternoon at 1, preceding the Soul Experience, we're digging up a time capsule on the grounds of
I read about that.
Tolovana Hall that is buried there 50 years ago.
Wow.
So that's going to be kind of a...
Wow. You know, I have the address, 3779 South Hemlock.
Yes.
For Tolovana Hall. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that was in the same place. How exciting. So that's at 1 is the time capsule. Mm-hmm. And I understand you're going to be creating a new one.
Yeah, I would. We're dedicating a new one for another 50 years. I just wrote a letter and gave it to the folks at City Hall. I wish you could still bring stuff, but
it's closed.
It's closed.
Okay, I'm sure
this afternoon
have lots of stuff. All right. Now, what's your next?
So yeah, the next event, thanks to the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition, is a stand-up comedy event that is Friday, December 7th, also at Tolovana Hall.
Okay.
That's at 7:30 p.m. And the performer's name is Mohamed El-Sheikhi. He is a stand-up comedian out of Portland. He came to the United States 4 years ago as an exchange student from Benghazi, Libya. And you'll appreciate this, Carol. He was a radio host 2 times a week there.
Oh, wow.
Until the station was burned down.
Oh,
I guess you won't appreciate that part.
That sucks. Yeah. Thank God. No, I don't. That's why
the first part, not
this. No, but that's why we need to get our act together. And I think KMUN does a heck of a good job on that. And you guys are doing a terrific job on bringing us all together so that kind of travesty doesn't go on.
So, yeah, he applied for political asylum. And he started doing comedy, stand-up comedy, 2 years ago. Obviously, it was an extension. He was already a talker.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, so he's been doing stand-up for 2 years, and it explores largely his immigrant experience. But he's already been named, last month in the Willamette Week in Portland, he was named one of the 5 best new comedians in Portland.
He just did
a showcase in New York. I mean, and that's crazy for comedy. Comedy can take 10 years till you kind of get your footing, but he's quickly becoming a star. So,
well, he comes from a culture and background of irony, so I can imagine that he's capturing it quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Look forward to that. And then what's your third?
That was
the 7th, Friday the 7th.
Yeah.
Folks, guess what?
That's next week, December 7th. Holy moly. Okay.
And the week after that, we'll be wrapping up our year with our annual holiday bazaar.
Okay.
Again, at Tolovana Hall.
Mm-hmm.
That begins with the opening reception the Friday the 14th in the evening.
Okay.
And that features local art, local crafts from Cannon Beach, Nehalem. Mm. You know, we have everything from like really cool, environmentally friendly, locally made detergents and soaps to fine art and basket weaving and, you know.
I have a little stool that I bought at the Tolovana Arts Colony Bazaar years ago. And it has a panel in the middle. And whatever he did, I can't remember. Hopefully it's the artist. It's one of the local artists who's quite well known, but I don't want to say the wrong one. It's lasted this long.
I think that's the kind of quality you can count on.
So this is the Friday the 14th.
Friday the 14th.
What time? Ish.
Oh, my goodness. I don't have a poster for that. I'm going to say ish, 6 to 8, probably something like that,
okay.
6 to 9.
Okay.
And then the bazaar will be, like, that'll be the kind of, you know, opening. There'll be food and a little more, you know, kind of lively thing. And then the afternoons on Saturday and Sunday, the market will be open. But you want to get there Friday because stuff sells out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of, there was fine art and then a lot of woodworking art and basketry and stuff like that. I don't remember the detergent, but
that's a newer
good.
One. That was, you know, we've got tea. I mean, we've got, you know.
Nice.
All kinds of stuff. Herbs. I mean.
So Tolovana Arts Colony, tell us in a nutshell, because in 1 minute, you got one more minute.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what is the Tolovana Arts Colony?
And
the website.
Well, it's tolovanaartscolony.org.
Okay.
We do classes, workshops, and cultural programming for citizens and residents of Cannon Beach and the North Coast. We do concerts in the park. We do, like last month, we did a cheese tasting workshop.
Mm-hmm.
We did a poetry reading with some of the Fisher poets. I mean, you can see the variety we've got coming up with the soul experience, the comedy show, the bazaar. Anything that we can get, you know, a critical mass behind.
Mm-hmm.
We're up for it. We want to support artists. And
if somebody has something they want to offer, like a class they want to offer,
tolovanaartscolony.org. And if somebody has something they want to sell at the bazaar, we have a few spaces open.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, reach out.
Okay. And it's a wonderful organization. And I just want to say that the two men who started it, that would be the Reverend Billy Hultz and Uncle Mike
Burgess
used to come in at least 3 or 4 times a year and sit right here and tell us about it. Two local artists who said, we got so many artists in Cannon Beach, we got to get it out there.
What Billy would say is anything done well becomes art, and that's how we look at it.
That's great.
We want to get involved.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Thank you
so much, Andrew, from the Tolovana Arts Colony. Again, starting tomorrow at 2 p.m. at Tolovana Hall is the Soul Experience. And before that, check out the time capsule. That should be fun. And then you can just go to their website and see what else is going on. TolovanaArtsColony.org.
Thank you, Carol.
Andrew. Woo! Okay.
I'm gonna light up the trees, light up the birds, light up the letters, light up the words, light up the desert, light up the town, light up the evening when the sun goes.
Illuminate the fire of the soul deep within. Kind of fits in with what Andrew was talking about. We're starting the lighting of the lights of Hanukkah on Sunday evening. I want to wish everybody a Chag Sameach, a time of light in a time of darkness. Grow the light every day. Grow the light within and without. Also tonight, Astor Street Opera Company opens Scrooge. Oh, and by the way, Tuesday morning there'll be Hanukkah music on the air. And there's a special Sunday at 7 p.m. for Hanukkah. Astor Street Opera Company opens Scrooge actually tonight, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock at the Playhouse Kala featuring Larkin, the Astoria Library at 6 to 7. You can fit this all in. Bob Pyle and Florence Sage with family stories in poetry. It's going to be beautiful. And the Coaster Theater is showing Wizard of Oz this weekend. And Cannon Beach Community Church has the chorus, Caroling, Caroling. And they'll be at Nehalem Methodist Church on Saturday. Again, you heard about the Tolovana Arts Colony tomorrow, Art Walk in Gearhart and Seaside, the Nutcracker 2 at 7:30 Saturday, Sunday at 2. And NCRD, Rebecca Kilgore at 7:30 on Saturday.